Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Invaders in color. The Invaders. A Quinn Martin production. Starring Roy Thinnes as architect David Vincent.
Invaders, alien beings from a dying planet. Their destination, the Earth. Their purpose, to make it their world. David Vincent has seen them. For him, it began one lost night on a lonely country road looking for a shortcut that he never found. It began with a closed, deserted diner and a man too long without sleep to continue his journey. It began with the landing of a craft from another galaxy. Now, David Vincent knows that the invaders are here, that they have taken human form. Somehow, he must convince a disbelieving world that the nightmare has already begun.
The guest stars in tonight's story, Jack Lord, Alfred Ryder, and special guest star, Diana Hyland. Tonight's episode, Vicar.
President's request for more aid will go nowhere on Capitol Hill until House Republicans can agree on a new Speaker of the House. Members plan to take another vote later today. Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill with more on this part of the story. Nicole, good morning. The saga continues.
Yeah, it sure does, Gail. Good morning to you. Congressman Jim Jordan is pressing on despite coming up short in another round of balloting. And some lawmakers who voted against him say they're now getting death threats.
A speaker has not been elected.
In the second round,
a speaker has not been elected.
A second strike for Congressman Jim Jordan.
The Honorable Jim Jordan of the state of Ohio has received 199.
The Ohio Republican failed to reach a majority.
So let's get a Republican speaker and get about the people's business.
Four GOP lawmakers initially backed Jordan, but switched their votes Wednesday against him, including Iowa's Marionette Miller Meeks. She said she's getting credible death threats and a barrage of threatening calls, but will not bend to bullies. And New York's Nick LaLota, who hasn't backed Jordan, shared a threat he received, telling him to go F himself and die. Jordan has condemned all threats against colleagues, writing, "It's imperative that we come together."
It's an embarrassment, and this is not what we should be dealing with.
There's a growing push from both sides of the aisle to potentially expand the powers of Interim Speaker Patrick McHenry so the House can resume legislative business.
There is not consensus, clearly, on who the next speaker should be. And so in the immediate, we need to get back to work. We need to allow Patrick McHenry to do the job as Speaker pro tem with the authority to govern.
What do you say to those who feel that's just kicking the can down the road?
We can't waste any more time.
And things could potentially get worse for Jordan. CBS News has learned that some members may try to stagger their votes so Jordan loses even more votes on the next round. Nate?
Nicole, thank you.
And he did. He lost more votes in the third round. And now Republicans are blaming Democrats for his vote. Come on, man. Come on, man. What are you doing? Make the case. Trump McCarthy out. I think Mr. Gates is a Republican, correct? He's the one that did it. And you're sitting there saying that this is the Democrats' fault for not electing a speaker. By 90%. No. You started the procedure. Democrats did not take McCarthy out. You did. Welcome to the grand. There we go. Okay, that's great. And it's very, very frustrating because the House representatives are not doing the people's work. This has been a nightmare. That's why I played the invaders again, because we're being invaded by morons. Utter and complete morons. You had the audacity to sit there and say, well, you know, 90% of the votes do not elect Jordan for Democrat. No. How many Republicans voted for Jordan? See, that's what you guys are trying to play the word game. Once again, words are important. Once again, Republicans are playing games with this. You did it. It's your fault. Oh, I'm doing. How about this idea? Why don't you get a neutral party elected to the speaker and then proceed from there? No, you don't want to do that. You were a Trump Speaker of the House. Go ahead, keep on moving around. We got 28 days before a government shutdown. 28 days. Jordan will not get the votes because of his radical right-wing spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we need to get away from left-wing, right-wing, and come to the middle. That's what our esteemed ex-president has done. He has put us in corners we can't get out of. I don't know about you. I'm tired. I'm tired of foolishness. I'm tired of the alphabet soup, and now you have a candidate that you have this. You have a candidate from India who wants to eliminate some of the departments in the United States. He cannot be president either. This guy is also another Trumpet. What are you doing? What have you been drinking? Because everything you're drinking, you need to change. It's not gonna work. Five people got guilty pleas. You have a president going to court and acting a fool in court. This is bad, folks. This is bad in all corners, man. I don't know what to say. In the meantime, Israel is getting ready to invade Gaza. And have you noticed that the Ukrainian war has been in the back burner? By the way, the Israeli-Gaza is not a war. It's a rebellious act. When they go to war, it's right again. We go with the words. They're trying to legitimize the invasion. No, I am not in favor of Hamas doing what they did either. But Israel has got to take accountability of their political actions. Let me ask you all a question. I asked this several times over the last week. How many airplanes does Palestine have? How many naval ships does Palestine have? How many Air Force planes does Gaza have? So what are you talking about here? You have the biggest air force on the planet in Israel. Yes, they can defend themselves, and they should. But you don't bomb innocent people. You just don't do it. You should learn from World War II. Obviously, you haven't. You have a right-wing prime minister, the brother to Donald J. Trump, and Netanyahu. And it seems like the whole world is going right-wing. As I remember, as a history major, when the world goes right wing, we end up in a war, a world war. Can't do that anymore because of nuclear powers. But we better get this right, or it's over. I'm going to take a break. Yeah, I would say, you know, it must be. It must be.
Well, all right. Yeah. You know, ever since I turned pro in 1989, when I signed the dotted line, it was strange. Those things changed for the better and for the worse. So I called my mama and she said, baby,
must be the money.
It's got to be, 'cause I got people wanna be my friends.
BYU is hosting the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. It was halftime when Southern with the ball. Jackrabbits just scored a minute ago. In a tight defensive battle in Carbondale, Saluki Stadium, 7-0, 1 minute to go before halftime, SIU hosting the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State, the number one team in the small school nation. The Jackrabbits scored 40 points a game, so it's an accomplishment for the Salukis. Only keep up to 7 points at halftime. News of the week. The first female GM, Kimmy, will not be at the Bavaria Bar this year. And we got to ask what's going on at South Beach. As Derek Jeter walked away from Miami 3 years ago, and now Kim Ng, one of the most intelligent persons in baseball, walks away for the same reason. Miami, Jeter, and Ng were not on the same page. Jeter walked away. Now Ng walks away, and Miami is on his own. The San Francisco Giants interviewed the first female ever in Major League Baseball as a manager, Aliza Nagin. An interview last week for the Giants, we don't know what happened. The Giants are still looking for a manager. So we will see how that goes. I hope a great open for Alicia to get it. We'll see. Tuesday, Kevin Porter will be moving from Houston to Oklahoma City after a legal incident in Houston. He will be in Oklahoma City to play for the Thunder in 2023. Indiana rookie Phenom Richardson is done for the year as he had a major arm injury. He will most likely start spring training in 2024. Eagles sign wideout Julio Jones, and this is interesting. I think the Eagles just won the Super Bowl with the signing. Julio Jones gives a boost to Jalen. Jalen has now another wide receiver, another target. Meanwhile, the Sixers are wondering what the ham sandwich, as Reggie was saying, what the ham sandwich is doing in Houston while the Sixers brand is without him. I don't know what the Sixers are doing, but I would just let him go and buy and get a guy to play for them. Because Harden is insisting on not playing for the Sixers. Murray is back to practice for the Arizona Cardinals. He may be in game Sunday. Mercury, the Phoenix Mercury, WNBA team hire Nate Tibbetts as head coach next year. Another man, OG Bebo, I don't like this. scared this fucking woman to go to fucking Nathan. Last year. And now, the LA, well, in the past, the LA Sparks, 2016, and the 2021 Chicago Sky. Oh, Kansas Parker is a three-time winner with three different teams. One more win, one more championship is to have. Well, I think he has four rings already. Two with the Aces. One with his birthday, one with his guy. A great basketball player, a great man. An educator, an emulator, an educator that teaches young men how to play the game and how to act on the field. Andre Iguodala retired after 19 years. Great career. With the Lakers, Denver Nuggets, and Golden State Warriors. We wish him well. I know he'll do well because he's a motivated person. Andre Iguodala, 19 years of greatness on the NBA. Jimmy G, Garoppolo, for you guys who know who he is. Will not be playing with the Bears against the Bears. Raiders game. Both starting quarterbacks will be out. And this is going to be an ugly game for the Bears and Raiders. Here's a hardball game. University of Michigan suspended Stanford football Stanford Card Giants were allegedly stealing signs from other teams. Harbaugh proclaims innocent, of course. And the NCAA is going to investigate. Well, the NCAA can do all what to do. They're a paper tiger and Michigan could sue the NCAA, and this will be over in a minute. But Connor Stallions, and this is the name because the Michigan Wolverines have a record of 24-3. You look at that and say, well, maybe they did steal signs. That we won't know. We take a break, come back when NCAA and other news.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, are you ready for some football? You ain't ready for no football. You ain't ready for the Oakland Raiders. It's the invasion of the Oakland Raiders. Are you ready for some football?
Yeah.
You ain't ready for the football.
Ah! Here we come, baby. Just win, baby. Feel the storm of the cold autumn wind, baby. It's the Oakland Raiders. Get your mouthpiece. You in the black hole with the black beast. This ain't black gold, this is black silver. Commitment to excellence, we deliver. And we'll play past regulation. It's the invasion of the Raider Nation.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation,
are you ready for the football?
Yeah.
united. When they see them pirates, fans get excited.
Get excited.
The opposition get quiet. When I hit the field with my eye patch and my shield, the silver and black will attack, will attack.
Are you ready for some football?
The silver and black will attack,
will attack.
Are you ready for some football?
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. 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 Raider Nation,
we are, we are.
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 Raider Nation,
just win, baby. Just win, baby. Just win, baby.
Just win, baby. That's about it. That's about it. As you guys say, scores. NCAA scores. Let's get up on the board here. As the NCAA, we get ready for the eighth week of the season, and we can get it right here. Guys, 0-3-3-3. the money, there was nothing. We have it. Seven die. You got huskies and southern Florida bulls. The green wave is a green battle with the green wave against the mean green. North Texas, mean green, zero, delayed green wave, 13. So it's a green tide in New Orleans. Tennessee, upset city. Well, not really. I think Tennessee is better than Alabama. Tennessee is winning over Alabama in Tuscaloosa, 13-0. 17th ranked Tennessee is rocking. And this could be the third Bama loss of the year. Oregon, Washington State hanging tough as it's a 3-3 tie. Buffalo is went to Kent State 14-6. The Ball State Cardinals 10. The Chickawas of Central Michigan 3. And my second favorite team, the Northern Illinois Huskies, hosting the Eastern Michigan Eagles. 10-7 going into the second period. There you have the NCAA partial scores. As SIU and South Dakota State get ready to go to the third quarter in their battle for a Missouri Valley title. As also South Dakota is walking all over Indiana State 17-0. There you go. It's good for the day. San Diego tried the game in the fourth quarter on on a mob, on. But of course, the boys win on a late field goal on Thursday, and the Jaguars lead the AFC South. They beat the Saints 31-24, and they're open at large to carry this team. NCAA Footer News later on today, Washington State is at Oregon, Utah doesn't count. 1-5, 1 is Georgia is at Florida, Michigan State. Ohio State crowns N State. Florida is at Duke, Michigan, that game evening. And Washington is currently playing Arizona State. HBCU, Alabama State, upset Texas State 24-19 last week. 1-5, Atlantic College, North Carolina Central, Virginia State, FAMU, and Virginia Union, 1-5. Last week in the small schools, the Jackrabbits beat the Panthers of Northern Iowa 41-6. While the Lukies get by Murray State Rangers 27-6. The Coyotes of South Dakota slipped by the Penguins of Youngstown State 34-31. Now this week, South Dakota Coyotes are playing Indiana State, while the top three teams in the Missouri Valley Conference, 1-5 in the small school rankings, South Dakota State Jackrabbits number 1, Montana State number 2, Furman number 3, Sacramento State, California number 4, UIW number 5, North Dakota is number 9, North Carolina Center from the MEAC is number 10, SIU is number 12, Missouri Valley, and FAMU from the Swank, 18. All right. And that is your update at the moment. The NCAA All Divisions.
There's a story about a man coming in.
My message, no one is called, but my homies and some bill collectors. Say you love, bring somebody wants to borrow money. I chew at her, she don't hit me back, something is funny. So I called her mother's house and asked her, had she seen my baby? Roll my sticks around, looking for that missing lady. Got back in, turned the TV on and caught the news. Then I put my hand on my head, cause I'm so confused. And then I turned the TV down, cause I thought I heard a squeaky sound. Something's going on upstairs, yeah, cause I know nobody else lives here. As I get closer to the stairway, then I hear my baby's voice in my ear, screaming out, you're contagious, touch me baby, give me what you got. Then a man says, sexy lady, drive me crazy, drive me wild. All I heard was my baby's voice. I'm gonna do. What I saw was enough to drive a preacher wild. I'm in the hall contemplating, not in my own damn house. As I get closer to the stairways, all I hear...
Gotta get my seat. Gotta roll my seat. Mr. Big, contagious. Yeah, that's what we gotta do out here. Alright, BGA, the standard broadcasting in Mississippi as Luke List wins by two strokes. LPGA last week in the Buick Shanghai with Andy Lynn defeat Lily Vu in the championship. This week they're off for the Maybach Championship in my favorite Asian city, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. WTA last week in Shanghai Classic, Zhu Oman and Anna Meng in Korea. Also the potential Hong Kong Open, of course, in Hong Kong. Last week at the Southpoint 400, Carl Larson punched his ticket for the championship with three races left to go in the season. This week at the 400 and the Homestead Speedway in Miami. Next week they moved to Virginia for the Xfinity 500 and the last regular race before the championship in Virginia, the Xfinity 500. More than once last week they were off. This week they're in the United States for the United States Grand Prix in Texas on Sunday. The clerk gets the pole position. And Lando Norris, my second favorite driver, is second with Lewis Hamilton. Third, Max Verstappen has trouble with his car. He won the speed issues, but got penalized, so he will move down to sixth place in the U.S. Grand Prix tomorrow morning. Or actually tomorrow afternoon, because it's our time. Not European time, so it's our time as the U.S. Grand Prix starts. I think it's about 1 o'clock on 1 o'clock on NBC. All right, we also had the WNBA championship on last Sunday. The Liberty got back into the championship with an 87-73 victory, 2-1. On Wednesday, the Aces closed it out, winning back-to-back title, you know, five Aces. You win. As the Aces win a defensive struggle, 70-69, and Aja Wilson is the MVP of the playoffs in WNBA. So congratulations to the Las Vegas Aces of WNBA. Also, we had the MLB, if I get this right here on here. Major League Baseball and their playoffs. We'll be right back. afternoon in Houston and the road to it, whatever game of the series. The Snakes, that's the Arizona Diamondbacks, y'all. When the kids come back to beat the Phillies, 6-5 late in the game, and they tie the series at 2. I think this is going 7. Thomas is a 2-run homer, and Moreno RBI gave it a single in the 8th inning. So we have Wednesday back surgery get rubbed up. All the superstar pitchers got rubbed up. So now we have a 3-2 series with Houston and Texas. A 2-2 series with Philadelphia and Arizona. And folks, this is going to go all the way until November. And they stretch this out, which I think they will stretch this out, because the first game of the World Series will be next Friday. Next Friday is the first game of the World Series. Next Friday is October 27th. If it goes 7 games, it will be in November. November is the end of the baseball season. You talk about crazy. That's crazy. NHL news. NHL started their season last week. The Ducks and San Diego win their opener. Vegas is on the march again. They do a 3-2 over the Dallas Stars. Houston, the Edmonton Oilers, are making a statement in the West. They make a 6-1 victory over the Nashville Predators. On Wednesday, the Ottawa Stars defeat the Washington Capitals. And I don't know what's going on with Ovechkin, but Ovechkin is not scoring any goals for the Washington Capitals. That could be a disaster for the Capitals team in Washington, D.C. We will see. All right. We coming down to the room. The good side is the Jersey Devils and the Rangers are going to their usual early season slumps, as they always do every year. The first October, November, you don't see them. And when it comes down to December, they finally put the skates on. And start skating. Here we go again with both the New Jersey Devils and the New York Rangers. We'll take a break. Thank you.
melting pot. On the corner selling rock, preachers pray to God. And a gypsy cat, take me down from Harlem to the Brooklyn Bridge. Someone sleeps tonight with a hunger for more than an empty fridge. Make it by any means. I got a pocket full of dreams, baby. I'm from New York, concrete jungle where dreams are made out. There's nothing you can't do. Now you're in New York. These streets will make you feel brand new. Big lights will inspire you. Here is for New York, New York, New York. Lighters in the air, everybody say
Trotter's discrimination lawsuit against the NFL now says that, you know what, there should be more minorities who are owners in the NFL. Now remember, this is what Jim Trotter quoted Jerry Jones as saying in his lawsuit, quote, if blacks feel some kind of way, they should buy their own team and hire who they want to hire. Now Jones is singing a different tune. He made some comments to reporters about what he would do and how he is going to work to get more minority owners. Keep in mind, the Washington Post did a big old story on him a few months ago. And, you know, Jerry Jones is literally one of – he is arguably the most influential NFL owner. And he also huge Republican, conservative, one of those folks who was full of crap when it came to Colin Kaepernick, so-called standing with his players. We all know now that that was nothing but a PR move. And so now Jones, and he's still denying that he was somehow involved, that he made this comment just the other day, but that's what you're seeing. Now, here's the thing that's also interesting. Jerry Jones, when he was asked about this, he talked about how, oh, my goodness, it was just so difficult for him, just so difficult for him to buy the team, and, you know, he really couldn't afford it. And then actually what he said is he would carry Magic Johnson piggyback, a walk across Texas to get more black NFL owners. Let me see if I can pull this story up about in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Let me see right here. Here is the – give me 1 second. I just want to show y'all here we go. Let me find this comment. So go to my iPad. In this piece, they're talking about the fact that the NFL has no black majority owners among its 32 teams, only 3 black head coaches, 60% of the league black. Spent a lot of time talking to them, showing them and talking to them about how they could get in the NFL, Jerry Jones told Clarence Jones of the Star-Telegram. Multiple ways to address inequity, multiple ways to go do it. And certainly I would think about one way to try to work to get ownership improved in the minority area. And I'm all for it, and I do, and I do it. I work at it. I work at it. First of all, this quote don't make no sense whatsoever. Don't make any sense whatsoever, okay? Makes no sense. That, again, this is the article. Go back to it. Jones understands the financial hurdles that have impacted blacks from gaining ownership, most notably the rising cost of NFL franchises and league rule that a majority must put down 30% of the cost. Nobody got in on a wing and a prayer any more than I did, and I really couldn't afford it. But I got into it, and as we look and see, we do see the qualified potential buyers out here that can get involved, and that's one way. You know the financial hurdles for everything that's gone up, but percentage-wise, there are qualified people out here. If they aren't here this minute, they're on their way because that's what's happening in this country. And many of the people that recently have gotten involved in the NFL might not have been able to do it 20 years ago, so continuing to share thoughts and ideas with other people about being involved and from the ownership is something that I can speak to. He brings up Magic Johnson. Of course, he was a part of the Washington Commanders ownership. He goes, quote, Magic is a great ambassador, and I carry him piggyback to get him in the NFL. Jones says it's very important to have continued dialogue and discussions about diversifying the NFL's ownership rules, ranks, and believes his comments to Trotter were misrepresented. It's very important. We want that. We work at it. Really, that was the intent. My intent when we were talking, and I regret that with Jim, I do. I really do because he's a friend. I love the National Football League. I love football. And if we can improve it by having people that aren't in ownership today in ownership, I'll walk across Texas to do it. Julian, anybody reading those comments, listening to those comments, would likely say, that's some bullshit. I'm working at it. I'm working at it. No, I really do. It's important. Boy, bye.
The man sounds unhinged.
Boy,
he
bye.
Totally unhinged.
No, he sounds defensive.
But also unhinged because the stuff that what he's saying does not make any sense. Yes, he sounds extremely defensive, but, I mean, also disconnected, and the visual of him carrying Magic piggyback anywhere, you know, just has to make you totally crack up. The fact is that this man was a racist, is a racist, is going to be a racist. He's saying the right things because he's in a lawsuit, and he has to say the right things. We know what the structure of the NFL is. We know how challenging it's been, first of all, just to get head coaches, not to mention ownership. And so give me a break. If they want to do something from an economic perspective to make sure that there is African-American ownership, there are a number of things they could do. Qualified African-Americans could get loans from the NFL at a subsidized interest rate to buy in. Of course, there'd be a vetting process. That's one thing they can do. We've seen things like that done in the past. or they could relax their rules so that there could be a larger consortium of African Americans, because now these teams are going for $5-6 billion. You know, when he says it's going to happen soon, he's waiting for the black billionaire, and the black billionaire may not want to be the one to spend his money on an NFL franchise. I mean, some of y'all go crazy over the NFL. I don't give a whatever. But what I do care about is the equity piece of this, and the fact that this aspect of food, I mean, he just seems unhinged.
Well, just seems- I want us, Omakongo, to understand a few things. And what I want us to understand here is that, and people don't, I think, fully get it. Roger Goodell is the commissioner of the NFL. Roger Goodell is an employee. He can make $50 million. He is an employee. The people that run the NFL are the 32 owners.
Yep.
And what Jerry is trying to do here, and this is key, Jim's lawsuit talks about not just ownership. Jim's lawsuit talks about lack of black executives in the NFL, lack of black executives at the NFL network. And so what? And this is why I want people to understand, don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Jerry wants us to now reverse field and go, oh, here's what Jerry is going to do for owners. The quote that Jim quoted him was, if y'all want to see some changes, go get your own owners, and then they can go hire who they want to hire.
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry knows there are not going to be any black NFL owners. He knows this. Y'all, the Commanders, the Broncos, NFL franchises are now going for $5-6 billion. Let's just say $5 billion. Okay? You gotta put up 30%. That means you, black man, black woman, you by yourself, you gotta put up or show $1.5 billion.
Yep.
He knows the game. Nah, Jerry. You don't want to deal with what Jim talked about is y'all are unwilling to hire black people as team presidents, as general managers, as heads of player personnel, as head coaches, and in the front office of the NFL.
And that's primarily led by Jones. I mean, this man is so slick. I mean, when you're talking about Kaepernick and the whole thing with the knee, you know, he was slick to make sure that he took a knee with the team before the anthem was played, but then at the same time said, no one will put a knee down and still stay on my team. He's very good at performative statements and comments. He's one of the most powerful, or if not the most powerful owner in the NFL. He clearly had the ability and the wherewithal to put an infrastructure in place to start to lead towards any type of black ownership. The only non-white ownership is with the Panthers, with the couple, when we see that. And so with Jerry Jones, and also that lawsuit also has stories of so many other racist statements that he said, and the Buffalo Bills owner, you know, allegedly saying, you know, go back to Africa if you don't want to play. And so this stuff is about to really hit the fan, and I think Jerry Jones knows that some of these things that have been said about him and alleged in this lawsuit, I think some of them are going to come out and be proven to be true. And so he's trying to get ahead of it by saying that he's always been about this. But like you said when you started the show tonight, never had a black coach, and never had, you know, the leadership at different levels. He has never been about it, but he understands in our society now, especially after they found him in that rally, you know, back in the days in the civil rights movement, he was on the wrong side of that rally. He's been very good at putting out little snippets that he knows the media is going to run with, because most of these networks are not doing in-depth conversations and in-depth fact-checking on calling out his entire history. He could have been put a system in place for black ownership, but he knows that this will rule the day for a few days, a few hours. We're not going to let it go, but he knows that the main folks, ESPN and all of these guys, they're going to let it go. But I'm glad this lawsuit is out, because a lot of these people are finally being called out for so many of their racist tendencies for decades, probably led by Jones.
Renita, we ain't falling for that banana tailpipe. Bottom line is, Jerry, you ain't escaping this. First of all, Khan is the owner of the Jaguars, not the Panthers. But two, The reason he can't escape is they can't force Jim Trotter to go to arbitration or mediation. They want this to go to court. They can do it with coaches and players. They can't do it with Jim Trotter being a reporter for the NFL Network.
Well, and so I don't support the NFL because there's just too many problematic things about the NFL that I just can't bring myself to support the NFL. But y'all correct me if I'm wrong on this. I seem to remember about a decade ago where the cost of purchasing or buying into an NFL or owning an NFL team was not what it was today. And so there were actually black people who had the money and could qualify to purchase these teams, and they were just not being let in for some reason that, you know, was not being actually told to them as to why they were not being allowed to purchase. Did that happen or no? Because that's what I
even then, could nobody black afford to get an NFL franchise?
Okay. Okay, because his comment really just sounds kind of condescending where he's saying, well, some parts of it he's saying, well, there's black people who are working up to this amount that who might be able to afford it. And then, of course, the carrying Magic Johnson on his back, piggyback. I mean, I would like to see if there's going to be a response from Magic Johnson to him saying this because all of it, the entire comment was condescending.
Nope.
And we know what his original comments were. And I think that his original comments are how he really feels. And he's just trying to walk it back.
Nope. You're not going to see a Magic comment, especially now that he is, even as a minority owner, in the NFL club. Trust me, you're not going to hear anything being said.
Hello?
Okay, now I'm muting myself. All right, Tony, can you have the answer to that question?
Well, first of all, I think just to go back on a little bit on it, Roland Martin was incorrect in regards to folks making black folks making inquiries. Walter Payton, Bill Cosby, there have been several other folks prior, you know, going farther, even further back than 10 years that, you know, there was a guy that tried to buy the Vikings a few years back and it was Byron Allen tried to do the same with the Broncos, you know. The thing is, I see it what they're saying, but you have to have, again, and this is just the editor in me, I guess. We know the problem. We already, you know, it's well documented, but you have to be accurate when you say whatever, because there have been black folks as far back as almost 15, 20 years ago that have tried, and that's what makes it even worse. You have to, you know, that's, you know, and maybe this is the sports news snob in me, but when you have quote unquote non-sports people that try to do research on sports stuff, they sort of, you know, the woman who said that went to other, she was correct in that, and he sort of dismissed her. But again, that doesn't take away from the fact that the NFL is probably of all the four major sports has been the most egregious in regards to black ownership.
So how do we get black ownership in the football league?
Smarter men than me have been asking that question for a long time. I wish I could. And see, the thing is, you know, these folks have tried to do it you know, the right way. And, you know, it's just his way. It's too easy of a cop-out to say, hey, you need to have more money, because there's a lot of folks that came in that have come in with less money and were able to purchase teams. So, to me, that's a misnomer. You know, it's a million-dollar boys. It's a million-dollar boys club, boys and girls club, because we've seen women owners. Of course, you know, Giorgio Frontieri, you know, took over the Rams after Carol Rosenblum passed away. Was even there when they won their second Super Bowl in St. Louis. So it's again, even with all the how the NFL tries to cry diversity and all this other stuff. It's an attitude thing. They're never, you know, the attitude is still there. They still, in many of the major sports, with basketball being somewhat of an exception, but even basketball has their problems too. They still look at players, folks that want to be owners and GMs and coaches as subservients. They still, you know, it's still a million-dollar boys and girls club. And I hate to say it, the only way that we're ever going to, we're going to have to do like Ice Cube. We're going to have to do like Ice Cube and run the league. And unfortunately, even with what Ice Cube has done, even Ice Cube doesn't run the whole Big Three as well. So if it was just one thing, it would be, I'd be able to whatever, but it's a bunch of things. And the biggest part of it is that you've got the folks who are the decision makers that are, for lack of a better word, they're the cock blockers of all of this.
Well, I see guys like Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan,
Jay-Z,
and Jay-Z,
Jay-Z. Yeah, they're there as they're there as figureheads. I'm not gonna call them tokens. It's worse than that. It's figureheads, because the one thing I do agree with what he said in regard to is Magic gonna say something? No, Magic won't say anything. Magic will, Magic is willing to. I give Magic his due as a businessman, but I do think that he's willing to, I hate to say it, whore himself out. We saw that happen with the Dodgers, and we're seeing it now with the Washington traveling all-stars and Motorkins.
A.K.A. Commanders.
whatever the name that they are, I'm calling them for now, and I guess there's a faction that's still trying to, slide the old name back in at some point. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
I am not happy with that. If that name returns, I am done. I must
admit, we've done our boycott of the NFL, and it was a lot easier to do it. It still is. Even now, I think I told you, I've been knee deep in the baseball playoffs from day one. I've caught like a handful of football over the past few weeks. I always make sure I watch some so I can do the field general's report, but this time, now once baseball ends, will I go knee deep in the NFL? I'll watch it, but to me, it's almost too early to watch hockey, and the NBA, I believe, starts, was it 24th? Tuesday.
Yeah.
So yeah, they'll start Tuesday, but even early season NBA, it's the beginning. It's basically the beginning of the NBA exhibition season, just like we're 2 weeks into the NHL exhibition season, to an extended exhibition season. But I go back and forth. And when you factor in the gambling aspect and some of these, and you see some of the shenanigans that's been going on with the college and pro games, it's just, I don't, it's, the sad thing is an Hello? Somebody's phone?
Yeah, I'm on the air. I'm on the radio right now, all right? I'm on the radio working right now. All right, thank you. All right, go ahead, Tony.
I think in a lot of instances now with the NFL, for a lot of people, it's just like Pavlov's dog in the sense where they're just watching it. I mean, they're you know, but see, now it's different in the sense now because you got the faction of folks that are watching it. You got the FanDuel and DraftKings folks. You got the hardcore gambling folks. And, yes, there's still hardcore football fans that are still watching, but I do think that there's more non-football fans watching these games now than really hardcore football fans, because the game the game in and of itself to me is it's too much between
you
the
know,
penalties
you know,
and
the. I hope this is not true, but there is a gambling site where you can predict almost every single play.
Gary, that's gonna, you know, I'm willing to bet you that site's probably been around longer before even, you know, it became legal in a bunch of states, because it's a, you know, you have to remember, and Mike says this a lot of what gambling really is about action. It's not even really about the game in a sense. It's just about having that, it's just having that action.
Somebody's gonna lose a house, lose a car, lose a girlfriend or boyfriend or both, and it's gonna be dire consequences. I think we're here for dire consequences with this thing.
I think it's already happened. Is that we just don't know of it, because you have to remember, look, it's you know, the legalized gambling hasn't been around that long. I think we're going into like the third or fourth year of it now, because you have to remember, for the longest time, there was only one place, and that was Vegas, and everything there was regulated and what have you. Now we saw what it has done, still doing to the New Jersey, how much money it's bringing in. I mean, at one point, I think like the first full year, they actually had a higher handle than Vegas. I don't know if they're still having that same sort of handle. I would think that maybe Vegas has quote unquote caught up, but. It's just a matter of time, and especially when you consider some of the states that have already, I think let's put it this way. I'm guessing all the states that border California have legalized pro and college betting.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's literally just a matter of time.
Yep.
It's just a matter, and see, once they, because look, once they see what kind of a financial dividend it'll be, you know, that's all they'll need. And if they
this governor we had is very interesting. He's been anti Vice governor for years.
Well, it's politically, you know, it's sort of like how we talk about the NFL as a copycat league. Once the money will talk. The money will talk at the end of the day. And once they see that they can make as much or more than likely more than their neighboring states, it'll be just a formality. I think, you know, for now, and now I don't know, now you may know this better than I would. I don't know if California has as many casinos / whatever, but just on the horse racing between Santa Anita and some of the other racetracks in California, in and of itself, will sort of help push the narrative. I think it's just a matter. I'm actually surprised that it hasn't gotten through yet. But again, usually with something like this, it usually starts off with a ripple or a little bit of a groundswell. But I just think, again, I do think it's a matter of time. And again, because all of the neighboring states have it, because they're going to be like, hey, we can't keep having these people leave and taking their money to another state, you know?
Pennsylvania and New Jersey, people going from Pennsylvania to New Jersey
It's like Prohibition was back in the day. If we couldn't, okay, what's the nearest state that we, you know, like when the marijuana business became legal, you started people started migrating to Colorado, and down here people started migrating toward Massachusetts and other. It's, you know, if it's literally, if your state won't do it, they'll find the state that will.
And they'd be willing to,
you know, spend the extra bucks, especially if it's a neighboring state. It's probably just a matter of time. It might not happen today. It might not happen tomorrow, but you know, probably maybe by the you know, I wouldn't be surprised that maybe by either the first of the year or maybe by the time football season for 2024 rolls around, that they'll, because what is it? It's about 20 states now that you can bet legally. Am I correct?
25.
Well, you know, so basically they're halfway home.
Every country.
Now, they remember, they're doing this without New York and without California.
And they're making beaucoup money too.
Well, look, you know, again, the neighboring state, you know, once they see the neighboring states doing what they're doing, because I mean, with New York, it's basically Connecticut, Jersey, and Philadelphia.
That's weird too, because Pennsylvania, you only do Philadelphia, but nowhere else.
Because you got to remember, you know, Philly and Jersey, you know, there's that, you know. Mike lives in that general area, and I know he could probably speak a little bit more in regards to it. But yeah, if you're a better in New York, you know, you don't, you don't, you know, if you're that hard, that much of a hardcore better, you're gonna you know, jump on the turnpike and do that. Hell, how many people jump on the turnpike? You know, again, even before it became legal, think of all the people who were going to Atlantic City for years.
Yeah, I remember those days. I was during the baseball. Baseball guru. Did you watch the game last night?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's nights like last night are the reason why we still enjoy the baseball playoffs. You know, you had two. I would say you had two classic games, and you had two. You literally had.
That night was the best two games in the series of all the series, both of them together. That night was
sure. Because look, we're at the these are swing games. Like we were talking Thursday night on LA's show. These were, you know, the last two nights. These were swing games, and I'll stand by what I said. Whoever, you know, the teams that won Game Four, I think have a very good chance of winning the series.
They have a problem. They have a real serious problem. The World Series starts on Friday, right? If this goes seven games, I think it's going to go seven games. It'll be November the 8th.
Oh, it's good. The season's getting, you know, when they, it's nothing new, remember. Look, there's, unless they're going to, you know, make some changes to the postseason, or we know they're not going to cut back on their regular season, so unless they make changes to the postseason, they're not. You know, Gary, it's. That horse is gone. They're going to do their 162. From hell or high water, they're going to do their 162. Now, will they remodify the postseason? Maybe. I don't. You know. I think they're gonna stay with what they feel is successful, even though, you know, and see, you almost have to throw out the TV angle, because they're never, because see, their thing is, you are never gonna be able to compete. They're never gonna get NFL numbers. Ever again. I think you never try to say never, but I, you know, it may, let's put it this way, I don't know if we'll live to see baseball get the kind of numbers that that the NFL gets ever again. Now there was a decent lead in, I guess, the other night in regards to, I guess it was the tail end of a Fox had the tail end of one game, and then they had game one of the ALCS. But the sad thing is, this probably had. Now I don't know what last night's numbers did, because luckily you were able to watch really good. Well, the game on the field.
I just saw it.
I'm watching the game. They're down 14-7 with 11:58 to go.
Yes, so they got a shot. Oh, dogs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, get back to the game.
Strictly on a baseball level, if you missed any of last night's games, that's on, you know, shame on you. You missed some good baseball. That's the reason why the two games we saw last night, that's the reason why we watch baseball. If you're not a baseball fan, those two games last night, it gave you everything that's positive and negative to a certain extent about the game, because the whole, you know, the whole thing in the eighth inning when they, for lack of a better word, sort of woke Houston up, you know.
Yes. Yes.
I understand why the umpire threw the pitcher out because, again, it's just a bad look, especially coming off of the home run and the prior bad blood that's been going on. I don't fault Dusty for blowing a gasket, in a sense, because in that situation,
if somebody hits a home run, I got the nine. That's the
only rule. And I get that, but see, in the long run, what do you serve from it? Because big picture wise, you don't want to put the go ahead run on.
Yep.
You're already down a run. You don't want to give them another chance to see.
Yep.
The thing that happened there was, in a sense, in a crazy way, Texas sort of blew their momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Texas blew because that, you know, they literally, in a sense, had blood in the water.
Yeah.
And could have gone, because you basically went from possibly going up. Look, it was a swing game because it was 2-2. So.
Yeah.
That was, you know, that was the pivotal game of the
series.
3-2. Because remember, it was 2-2. It was already 2-2. So this was a pivotal. Now the later game, the Phillies, that was a huge swing because you basically went from going up 3-1 to now being 2-2, and now know you have to go back to Philly now for at least one game. At the very least, you're going to have to make the trip back. Now, in the other series, you knew that you were going to have to make 80-mile ride back anyway. But you wanted to go back up 3-2. You wanted to go back up 3-2. Now, Houston go. But see, here's the thing: Houston's not been all that great at home. And on top of that, in this, unlike, put it this way. The crazy thing with the National League series is that nothing's been decided because the home team hasn't lost yet.
No.
So in a sense, basically Arizona held serve.
Yeah.
Arizona was able to hold serve after those two losses, and that's a hell of a feat considering that they, you know, considering how they lost those two games at home, you know, and what have you. But to their credit, they won two close games on their last at bat. So that the aura of being afraid of the Phillies has sort of been taken away from now. And now, I mean, it's beyond house money now, because if they're able to hold serve at home, all they basically got to do is win one game in Philly if they can. Now, of course, that's easier said than done, of course. But that being said, you know, last night's game was huge. And on top of that, now Philly, and see, it was a bullpen game for both teams. So now it's like, now who, please wait, you're going to have to go with Nola and or Wheeler maybe in game six. But see, here's the thing. You got to win tonight.
Too. I would go with Nola. I would not go with Wheeler. I'm not impressed with Wheeler.
Well, he's been very good in the postseason. You have to give him. You have to give the devil his due. You have to give him the
money. I have not been impressed with Wheeler. I'm more impressed with Nola.
Well, you know, depending on what happens tonight, Nola is either going to be pitching for a World Series win or pitching to get to a Game 7. But everything contingent on tonight, because, you know, whoever wins tonight has a better opportunity of or at least puts themselves and a better opportunity to win. Now,
you know what reminds me, I'll never forget this, 1988,
first inning, A's
Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Which game is
that? And Mike Davis is a single.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he walked, didn't he?
Didn't he walk?
Yeah, he walked.
Yeah, he walked. And that's how, you know, a lot of times with big innings or pivotal innings, it usually starts with a walk. And
LaRusa, this is driving me crazy in baseball with LaRusa. Mike Davis drove second base. I think it was, he still second base. Guess who comes up?
Oh yeah, I know Gibson, and people have been talking about that for years. You know, why don't you just put Gibson on? But see,
thank you. You put Gibson on base.
But see, their whole thinking was, and again, you know, hindsight is 2020. Their whole thinking is, we can get him out. We should be able to get him out. And as much as I'm not a La Russa fan, I'd be thinking the same thing as well. Now, what was surprising was basically Lasorda showed his hand by putting Gibson out there. Now.
Yes.
He could have just said, you know what? I'm gonna piss on that and put him on. But I think again, you didn't want to put the winning run on base. Now,
LaRusa has been not putting the winning run on base.
But he's not the only one. Also, he had his guy out there, Eckersley, because Eckersley started the inning. Eckersley started the inning. That's the thing. See, last night, Kimbrel struggled in the ninth inning the day before.
Right.
And they basically brought him in here, and he struggled. But see, here's the difference. Now, remember, you have the three-batter rule. So he had to face at least three batters. Now,
with that rule, oh, you mean that night?
Yeah. It depends on your perspective. Their whole thing was, and now we know La Russa is, and other managers are good for this, bringing in a guy to pitch to one guy, They got tired. They got basically tired of the conga line. From the one batter change, which I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Now their whole thing was, okay, we're gonna stop this conga line. If you bring in a guy at the top of an inning, he's got to pitch in three batters, Sparky Anderson, Dr. Hook.
Captain Hook.
Yeah. And see, now, to be fair, the three batter rule wasn't around for the 88 World Series. And you have that now, but again, it's all about context. Now, I'm trying to remember. I want to say that, because it was a two-out home run, was it not?
Yeah, it was two outs.
I want to say that Thomas was the fourth guy up. Now, going by that three-batter rule and considering what Kimbrel struggled the night before, he gave up the game-winning hit, and then was, you know, and see, it's all about context. Because, see, one of the ones that I still have sleepless nights over, that ironically, that same season you're speaking of, the 88 NLCS.
But see,
in that same vein, in the eighth inning, Gooden, like, you know, 1-2-3, mowed down the guys. And then they let him. And see, my thing has always been, I've had a, you know, and this was long before Matt Harvey, let a guy start an inning. If he gets in trouble with the first guy, kick him out. I have no problem with a guy starting. Now, if you feel like you want to bring in your guy at the top of the inning, fine, no problem. I've always looked at it as you want to have your best guy out there to finish out the game.
Yes.
Now,
always.
You could, and now we all know what happened. You know, he got the two outs, and then, you know, Socha hits a home run, and the series has changed pretty much forever. Now, with that, now again, with the Gibson thing, it's, you know, Eckersley started off the inning,
right,
like he usually does. I think in those early years when Eckersley was just starting to become a closer, they would bring him in. They wouldn't bring him in, you know, he didn't get the, we're going to bring him in at the beginning of the game. They would bring him in maybe after a guy got an out or what have you. But in that particular instance, Eckersley started the inning off. And matter of fact, the Mike Davis walk was a two-out walk, was it not?
I want to say it was a two-out walk.
That's what made the dramatics, because see, if Gibson gets out, the game is over. And see, from the Roos's perspective, he's thinking he's playing on one leg. You know, he probably thought, yeah, they may bring him, but they're gonna bring him in.
Because
again. And I'm not trying to justify. I'm trying to get, you know, and I know this is dangerous, getting into the mind of La Russa. And in La Russa's mind, it's like, I've got a one-legged guy with two outs trying to get on.
Yep.
That's what he's thinking. He's thinking, if we can't get this guy, I got. In my eyes, the best closer in the game.
We got a
tying run on or what have you. And remember the at bat. You know, Gibson even said, that little squeegee that rolled foul, if that thing stays fair, you know, the whole complexion of that series possibly changed.
Because he was in game one. Martin Davis was gone, but he made second base.
Well, look, he said to himself, if that ball stays fair, I'm not going to be able to run that out. I mean, you didn't have it wasn't a Mookie Wilson, Bill Buckner situation. Bill Buckner was at the plate. As opposed to being fielding, because you had McGuire there. McGuire could definitely move, but it's put it this way. Again, this is why we enjoy watching the playoffs and whatever, just because you can say, cause see, the other night when it was 0-0 and the kid is pitching the game of his life and he took him out, and the Arizona fans are like, what in holy hell are you doing here? They booed him to the high heavens. Now, luckily for his sake, it didn't go up in the face. But we've seen in instances, and I'm looking directly at you, Kevin Cash, where it was to me when they took out Blake Snell in Game 6, that blew the series. And psychologically, it's just about taking Blake Snell 2 years to get over it, to get back to being where he was. And he was never the same pitcher after that, because they could have forced a game 7, and if you force a game 7, anything happens.
Nobody wants to go to game 7 because a blue single or
Gary, 86 National League Championship Series.
Yep.
The Mets won that series, but who was the MVP of that series, right?
Who was the MVP?
Mike Scott. Mike Scott was the MVP of the 1986 NLCS.
What did he do?
Yeah. Don't you telling me you don't remember what Mike Scott was doing in that series in 86 versus the Mets, the Astros Mets? Yeah, no, he
I
was.
Don't
people forget that.
Remember.
Here's the thing. He had the 14. Remember, he won the first game 1-0 out-dueled Doc, basically. And then they won game 4 in New York to tie the series at 2. And, the Mets wind up taking game 5. But remember, if the Mets blow game 6, guess who was sitting there waiting to, get his third win in the series in game 7? It was Scott.
I think
Scott is still the only losing player to ever be named a postseason MVP for a postseason series. That's how dominant he was in that series. The specter, and remember, Game 6 basically, remember, Game 6 just ended about an hour ago. That was another one of those, classic, back and forth or what have you. But I say all that and everything, but last night and games like that we've seen, that's the reason why, baseball's had a long, long history of that. I think what made last night so cool is that it happened literally within a 5 to 6 hour span. Yeah, this reminded me of, I think it was 2010 or 2012, the last game of the season where a bunch of teams were fighting for that last It was 162 games. It was the last game of the season, and you had the last two spots in the NL playoff, a wild card, and the AL playoff, and the wild card. Remember, Cardinals get in because the Braves lose to the Phillies, you had that long rain delay in Baltimore, where Boston and Tampa were fighting out for the last AL spot.
Right.
And, both games were supposed to start at 7, but the Red Sox-Oriole game had that long, long, long rain delay. Matter of fact, when the Red Sox finally get up on the field, the Rays were down 7-0 to the Yankees. And then came back and won. No, I'm sorry. They I guess the scenario right. The rain delay, and the Red Sox wound up losing that game after the and in the midst of it, Tampa came back from being down 7, tied it, put it to extra innings, and then literally 5 minutes after the Red Sox lost, Longoria hits the opening home run, and they get the final spot. And you know that it changed everything. But that's what last night sort of reminded me of, in the sense of, you know, all of it going on at once, and that's again, if you're a longtime baseball fan, that was sort of like an old school night from back in the day yesterday, where you had two tremendous games come down to the last at bat, and let's put it this way: if you hadn't noticed or given the Diamondbacks credit before, they've earned a hell of a lot of respect in just the last 2 days, because losing them two games on the road very easily, people were like, oh well, you know, especially when the home team holds serve, you always got to sort of, you know, let me see what happens. And see, now Philly is like, jeez, what do we do now? These guys won't go away, you know?
Hey, you know, if Arizona wins, it could be an
indoor series.
That hasn't happened in years.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever happened, has it?
I think it has, because I don't will.
I'm trying to think, because you got to remember, Houston never get to a World Series until 2005. So now when Toronto has been there, but they were playing against Philly, when they got there. I don't think you've ever had an all indoor, because I think there's always been. I think we've had a bunch where one team played outdoor, one team played indoor, but I don't think we've had an all indoor World Series. Let me think now. Okay, the first artificial turf field was in 65. I don't think we've ever had an all-indoor World Series. I think all the dome teams that have gotten, they've always gone up against teams that play, because like your Twins, Twins Cardinals. Toronto's World Series was against Philly and Atlanta. Seattle's never been. Arizona got there with the Yankees, of course. Texas went up against St. Louis and San Fran, definitely outdoor teams.
Outdoors.
But you know what? Wait a minute. In both instances, when Texas made it, they were playing at the old Arlington Park, which was outdoors. Here's the thing. You know the only all-indoor World Series was? You know what? It's this way. Technically, the only all indoor World Series was the COVID year, and ironically, they played all the games at Texas's new park. Remember?
That's right.
That's the only all indoor series, and in a sense, it doesn't really count as an all indoor, because they were playing at a neutral site, and it was not a home team. They just basically swapped jerseys. So I don't think we've ever had an all in, you know, other than the COVID year. 87 was the Cardinals. And when they won in 91, they played Atlanta.
Okay. I don't think we've had an all indoor World Series.
I don't think we've had an all indoor World Series because like. I think Houston's times that they've won, you know, Houston's win against, you know, when they got to the World Series the first time, they played the White Sox. When they got there a second time, they played the their World Series have been against the Dodgers, the Braves, and the Nationals, and all of those are outdoor teams. So, no, I don't think we've had an all. I think you do if you base it if you get Texas, Arizona, it's a little or Houston, Arizona, you're going to get
indoors.
We're going to get at least half of those games indoors at this point in time right now. At least two games are going to be indoors. Depending on it's just a matter of which Texas team gets in. But no, I do not think we've ever had an all indoor World Series other than the COVID year, and that was more out of greed than anything else because they were dead set on getting that season in. But yeah, I don't think we've had an all indoor World Series, and I'm not, you know, didn't have it in the strike year in 81. You know what? Let's just walk through.
Okay, 80.
You had the Phillies and KC outdoor, Yankees, Dodgers in 81, Cardinals, Brewers in 82, Orioles, Phillies in 83, Tigers. Padres, 84, 85, Kansas City, St. Louis, same state, but, you know, all in 86.
That was
Red
a
bomb
on the TV. Nobody won that series.
Well, see. Unfortunately, that is wound up happening when it's the same thing. '86, of course, was Mets and Red Sox. '87, Twins, Cardinals. '88, Dodgers and A's. '89, of course, the Giants and A's. '90, the Reds and A's. '91, Twins and Braves. '92, Braves and Toronto. '93, Toronto, Philly. 94, nobody. 95, Cleveland, Cleveland and Atlanta. 96 was. Was it the Cardinals? 96? Or am I? Why can't I remember 96 now?
Baltimore.
No, not 96. Who was in 96? Oh, man. Yankees, Braves, 96. Yankees Braves, remember that was the start of Torrey and then Dynasty, 96, that was the 96 series, 97
wow.
was Cleveland, 97 was Cleveland and Miami, oh, well, Cleveland, Florida, 98 was Yankees-Padres, 99 was Braves and Yankees, 2000,
Yankees,
of course,
yeah.
Mets and Yankees, 2001. That was 2000 for the Yankees. 2001 was
Arizona
and Yankees. 2002 Giants and Angels. 2003, that was Marlins, Yankees.
Marlins, Yankees.
Yep, Yankees, Marlins beat the Yankees. 2004 was Red Sox Cardinals. 2005 was Cardinals and Tigers.
2006.
White Sox Astros. You're right. That's right. That's right.
I think.
2007. Why am I blanking on 2007?
That was a weird one. It was Red Sox and Rockies.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Red Sox and the Rockies.
The Rockies.
Yeah, and then I remember the Rockies whining about being off for the whole week and losing their momentum. 2008 was the Phillies Yankees, and then it was, matter of fact, it was Phillies Yankees 2008 and 2009 because the Phillies. 2008 was Phillies and the Rays, and then a year later Phillies Yankees. 2010 was the Cardinals beating the I'm sorry 2010 was Giants and the Rangers.
You know, I remember 2000 because 10, 12, 14, the Giants. 10,
yep, yep,
12,
yep,
14.
Okay, so that takes care of those 3 years of the 2000s. I don't think we've ever had an all dome series. I think if we do get it, if there's ever a year to get it, it's probably going to be this year.
I didn't think about it.
We've had a bunch of dome teams that have gotten to it, but it's never been dome team versus dome team. I mean, you know, and the funny thing is, you would think that just like because you've got to remember, there's not as many dome places anymore now. I mean, basically, was it Arizona, Toronto, Florida, and Tampa, Houston. It's not as many. I mean, you got to remember, back in the day, you had at least it seemed like you always had at least a half a dozen. It doesn't seem like there's as many. And see, the other difference now is that you don't have as many artificial turf places as well.
Oh, thank God.
Because even with some of the dome places, they play with grass. Now, Arizona and Toronto are the two exceptions. Toronto still plays on turf, and Arizona still plays on turf. But I believe Minute Maid is natural grass.
And you know what, Jay, the Ogre Raider, when they moved to Vegas, they had the portable field.
Arizona, I think, had that before them.
Yeah. But I think as football is going that way now.
Oh, sure. Under the quote unquote guise of player safety, but no. They ask for more money for a new place. That's all. You know, player safety, my ass. They don't care about player safety. They're trying to make a couple bucks. But I think we can definitely say that it's never been an all indoor World Series, and we got an outside possibility of that if Arizona wins.
I don't think Arizona's gonna be Philadelphia. Look,
they're already playing with house money, because if someone had told you after Game 2 that the series was gonna be tied, you might have been a little surprised, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, I was, you know, see what's interesting here is that, and we've talked about this, for whatever reason, home field advantage is not as big in baseball as it is in all the other major sports. And what's kind of funny is that you're seeing both extremes of it in both series. You got one series where the home team has yet to win a game, and then you got the other series where the home where a road team has yet to win a game. So you literally are getting both extremes in one playoff. Now that might be something worth looking up. And now we've seen a bunch of World Series where the home team lost all the games. You know, the Houston Washington series where the home team lost all the games, and then we go to the two Twins World Series in '97. And I'm sorry, 87 and 91, where the home team won all the games. So it's you know, but yeah, it's it seems to me historically, for whatever reason, you know, having home field advantage isn't as big of a caveat as it used to be in Major League Baseball. But that's because we've seen a lot of teams win deciding games on the road, you know.
You know, I look at the United States map, you know that in the middle of the map, there's been no World Series winners?
Well, east
of the Rio Grande, there's been no winners
that's ever got for a team. There's no teams. Yeah. I mean, you got to remember, St. Louis for the longest time was the farthest team west for the longest time.
Yeah.
So
I got one in Colorado. I got one in Seattle.
You know, one, you don't have teams there, and two, it's just the fact that we've gotten so used to teams on the west on the left coast, and what's crazy is pretty much every team in the Western time zone has been to a World Series. The only other than Seattle, every team in the Pacific time zone has either played in, has gotten to a World Series. And now the Rockies, who are literally in the middle of nowhere, they're in it's not the Central time zone. It's the Mountain time. Yeah. So even the Mountain time zone has had a team get to a World Series. And remember, for the longest time, folks thought that the Rockies would never get to a World Series.
Yeah,
but they got to them. But even they've gotten to one. And Seattle is, the Mariners have been there for quite a while. I mean, the Mariners got spotted 20 years and still couldn't get, and still haven't gotten to a World Series.
I still got that Seattle Pilot uniform. I was so sad when Seattle moved to Seattle. I like that uniform, Seattle Pilot. Well, you see,
they somewhat brought it back this year.
Yeah.
Because I think like on their Friday night games, they had that blue top. But they went with the black pants, which was kind of like, you know, okay. But they somehow brought back the hat in a sense. Now, if you go to like eBay or some of these sports memorabilia places, you can get that old Seattle Pilot hat. Now the jersey, that's a whole fact. If I don't know if you've done this, if you go to YouTube I know there's at least one, there's a Seattle Pilot Boston Red Sox game on YouTube. There's a bunch of games, radio guns, like, you know, there's a bunch of, I know on YouTube, there's a classic baseball on the radio thing, and they have a bunch of Seattle Pilot radio cast.
Tony, I remember Seattle playing the Yankees.
One of the games on the classic radio thing on YouTube is a Yankee Seattle game, but I believe it's the Yankees' first trip in Seattle that they have in there. That's the first game, but there is a condensed Boston Red Sox hosting the Seattle Pilots game on YouTube. Matter of fact, there's a three-part series. If you get a minute, I think you'll enjoy it. It basically goes through the history of that first season in Seattle, and it talks about what happened to that team. The thing is, they put it together hastily, and you remember the name of the stadium, Sick Stadium?
I was a kid, robot.
Put it this way. Remember how Jerry Park was sort of half-assed? The old Montreal played those first few years.
The difference
was with Jerry Park, it was made for, you know, I think they could put in about 4,000 or 5,000 for that. Six stadiums originally seated about 3,000, but they added, they literally up until the very first game, they were adding, they were still doing
adding the seats. I regret not going to Jerry Park because we were in Montreal and I was in Pittsburgh, and my dad didn't want to go because he didn't want to speak French.
They had the subtitles and whatever, but you could understand what was going on for the most part. I mean, you know, look, the thing I always remember, you know, if you remember they had the catcher John Bacabella, and you had the French speaking announcer, you know, doing this on you, John Bacabella. It was hilarious because it's a little story that I'm gonna get go. When I was in college. For communicating, I was a journalism major, but for one of the communications classes, we had to do a project in another language. So, what I did was, this was during the time when I was early in my career. I was writing to a bunch of the teams for media guides, and you know, some of the teams would send them, some of them wouldn't.
Right.
I would always get a media guide for the Expos. The Expos were one of the few teams that actually sent me one pretty much all the time that I requested one.
And their
media guide, like everything, it's half French and half English.
English.
So what my project was, what I did for my project was. I went to my teacher and I said, well, my professor, I guess I should say this. I said, it has to be all in another language. Am I correct? He says, yep. So what I did was I picked a random game. I did a game between the Mets and the Expos, and I did it all in French. I used the Expos media guide and a French dictionary online so I can make sure I can get all the words right. But I made well, see, I covered myself because I figured, let me get all the baseball stuff out of the expo guide and get all the other. Oh, that thing, it was brutal. It took a while, but once I was able to get it down, because, see, I have to, it seemed like it took forever. But,
That's a pitcher, right?
And catcher, of course, was receiver. And, it was weird because, like I said, I couldn't think of anything. I figured, let me just do something that I know that I would be into to try to get it done. So I figured, let me just go ahead and do it like
that's
that. Cool. I got a good grade. He didn't give me an A plus, but he gave me a B. Said, I like the first thing he said was, first of all, oh God, no, man. That's been like, it was cassettes, and cassettes are basically the 8-tracks of this era now. But I'll be like, that, you got to remember, this was like, when was this? I want to say it was 82 or 83, somewhere around. I mean, I don't think, you know, I mean, you know how cassettes will keep cassettes and whatever. I don't even have cassettes from the old sports show that I used to do back in the day. He gave me, but anyway, I believe he gave me like a B plus because he liked the originality of it because it was just something outside the box.
I told him,
look, probably butchering some of these French names, so if you're gonna grade me on my French, then you might as well flunk me now
because
they have a chance to get it right again too, I think. Now I still say what you need to do is take Tampa the hell out of there, let them become the new Expos, and then you automatically got the Expos and Toronto playing 19 times a year, and you can't tell me that wouldn't sell out in all of those games.
When they moved Houston into the version, I was like, really?
Well, it was, you know, I mean...
It was that pretty good.
That was one of the few, you know, I mean, it made sense. It made sense because you would not have the Texas-Houston rivalry that you have now. And it just makes sense. It makes sense. You put them right in the American League West, and they play each other 19 times a year. And so I think that's basically the reason why I would like to see them do that with the – put it this way. Whoever they wind up – if it's the old Expos or if they wind up giving Montreal an expansion team, I hope the hell they're smart enough to realize to put them in the American League and to put them in the American League East so that them and Toronto can play each other 19 times a year. You would keep the same because basically you get Tampa the hell out of Tampa and you make them the Montreal, you make them the new Montreal. It's as clean a move as you can make. You literally don't have to change anything. We don't have to say Rays or Devil Rays or whatever. It's just these are the new Montreal Expos. And again, we've seen it before because we've had two instances of two. You're basically on your third Washington team now. So why not just give Montreal? Put it this way. Two reasons why I want to see it. Number one, because of the uniformity. And also, historically, that's where Jackie got started.
Right.
And what better way to, in a sense, really honor that by giving them, by giving it. And here's the thing. If you remember all the craziness with the Expos, the fans only stopped coming when they realized that they weren't going to give them a new stadium. Once they said, once they basically said, you ain't getting a new stadium, fans was like, okay, we out. It's in a sense, is what happened with Oakland. Once they basically said, we're not going to give you a new park, you know, the diehards would go, and yeah, they had a full house, you know, the last, but see, when they've had these exhibition games there for the last 3-4 preseasons,
it's been
well, and see, here's the thing. In one of the games, they were honoring the Expos beforehand, and Vladdy Jr., he either hit a game-winning home run or drove in the game-winning run in the ninth. One or the other. And it was Derwin, and his dad was there at the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, people were, like, crying and all that other stuff. They were like, we've got to break the scene back now. But see, that's the thing. I just, again, to me, it just makes sense. Look, Toronto, for just whatever reason, they just don't get me. Put it this way. The fact that you've got, it's bad enough that you've got two teams in Florida. I can see one team in Toronto. But you got two teams in Florida, both playing indoors. I mean,
really?
It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, really?
It just doesn't make any sense.
And that's because, Arizona, I mean, why do you have a team in Arizona?
But see, to be fair, Arizona's always drawn fairly well. Arizona's always played well. And they did it, and you remember, they have the Arizona Fall League down there too, as well. So in a sense, in Arizona is basically the one state where baseball is played, you know, damn near 8 months a year. Yeah. Professional baseball. That might be the only state that can get away with that. Now, with Florida, all their leagues are also going on at the same time or what have you. Yeah, it's, you know, again, I've given up on Major League Baseball having a come to Jesus moment and whatever. To me, I've mentioned this several times on all our various shows. It just makes sense. Tampa, for whatever reason, Tampa just does not draw. And my thing is, it's the same problem with the Florida Panthers, because Florida they actually play in Sunrise, Florida, which is I think an hour outside of Miami, which is basically their home base.
Right.
Their home base is up in Miami. Now the Lightning, they've always played in Tampa. That's never so they were able to cultivate that fan base there. And you know, winning a few championships and being a contending team helps out a lot too. But what's crazy is that the Panthers had the early success. Remember, was it the second year that they got to the finals with the Rats and all that other stuff?
Oh yeah.
And ironically, who were they going up against? The transplanted Quebec Nordiques, who just happened to be the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're all working up, you know, that all though. But yeah, I've been saying,
I'm gonna wait to see the 49ers. Is the Bay Area a Bay Area thing? Man, the Bay Area team winning, they will go to the game. The Bay Area team, I want to see when the Niners are losing games. I want to see how many people are going to get there. I want to see how this is going to work.
You know, put it this way. It's been a perfect storm for them because they got to the world, you know, they got to the Super Bowl. I think either the first or second year of the new play. So there. So that helped. But for the most part, the Niner fans have been relatively loyal for the most part, I would think. I mean, you may know that better than I do. I can't even. Even in those in-between years when they were like either – because they went through that stretch before Kaepernick got there where they were just, you know, when they were really bad. But they still grew up. It wasn't like they had – I mean, they may not have sold out games, but it wasn't like what you see at times when the Chargers were playing those first 2 years at that soccer stadium, and they were basically there were more fans for the visiting team than there were for the Chargers. Hell, the Chargers are still going through that now, sharing SoFi Stadium.
They better be careful because SoFi's trying. That's the Rams and the Chargers neither one of them can overpower the opposing team, but it's been done.
And then, you've basically been doing that for New York now for the last 25 years.
I know.
But you got to remember, this is the first year that I can remember where they were both god awful. Usually, it's always been one's been okay, the other one's been bad. This is the first time that I can remember where both teams, maybe like, here's the thing. Now that I think about it, the only time when both of them were god awful, the Giants were playing at Yankee Stadium. They were playing here at Yale Bowl because they were getting the Meadowlands. They were getting the Meadowlands built. Because even in the bad old days, the Giants would always draw.
That's why old school draw.
It's old money versus new money. But see, they've always had that fan base. You know, the Jets never. I mean, yeah, remember Jets started a bunch of seasons, had to jump. You know, during in the 70s and early 80s, they had to play. They did to them what they did to Oakland those early years, where they forced them to play, you know, almost go through like 4 or 5 road games before they played a home game, and a lot of that had to do with, you know, either the next year. Yeah. So this is the first year where the both of them are there, and they're both looking to, and arguably they're both terrible. Although you got these delusional Jet fans that are saying that Rodgers is going to come back in week 8. Which is, good luck with that. Hey, all he has to do is snap it again, and he'll be working with Pat McAfee permanently. Take the L, man. Take the L, because. Dude, the more you try to whatever, and again, this is not this, you know, This is 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers. This isn't, you know, this isn't vintage, you know, this is an older guy. Older guy you're asking to come back on. Nah, man, that's, you know, you're asking way too much now.
Yeah, well, he better have the common sense and sit it out for a year.
There's no need to push this. I mean, look, I get it. You want him to come back and all this other stuff, but nah. I mean, you know, it's not. You know, and I think a lot of this was the euphoria after beating the Eagles or what have you. But no, I mean, I don't, let's put it this way. I just don't see them going on this great. I mean, even if he were to come back, where are they going to be week 8? I mean, right now they've only got 2 wins. Are they going to, you really think that, listen, we just got out of week 6. Are they going to win their next 2 games in time for Rodgers to possibly come back and pull a Lazarus act? I don't see it. I guess as long as Brian Gable isn't yelling at him again, I suppose. But
And
say what you want, that's still probably the most competitive game they've had all year.
Yeah,
it's still the most competitive game that they've played all year. But you know, look, it's funny because you've got people that are already thinking, the Giants play traveling All Stars and Motor Kings tomorrow. They're already saying, hey, if they don't win this game, you have to consider firing this guy. And see, that's the problem with New York. The whole thing of what have you done for me lately? Now look, everything went right for them last year. Everything went right for them.
Yeah, they got lucky this year.
I'm not gonna say they got lucky. They took advantage of a schedule. I'll say this: I don't think they're as bad as they've played this year, but I don't think they're as good as they played last year. Somewhere in the they're like a 500 team to me. They're not You know, they were contending for the division to a certain extent last year and basically got in with that, you know, with those extra player wild cards. And they took, you know, they caught some teams off guard or what have you. Again, I don't think they're as good as they were last year, but I don't think this would be in contradictory, I don't think they're quite as bad as they are this year. I just think what's happening right now is it's a snowball effect.
Good.
I mean, they have, you know, they literally, well, literally, think about it. They give up 40 points opening night. They damn near don't get out of Arizona game 2. And they really, I mean, other than the other night, they haven't played a consistent game all year. A lot of what's happening is that they're on the field. It reminds me of those old battle teams from the 70s where they're on the – look, if their defense is on the field for like almost 40 – basically for almost 3.5 quarters – because that same defense the other night basically shut the Bills down. The only reason why the Giants didn't win that game was because of a bogus call. Buffalo, Buffalo hasn't, you know, Buffalo's been, they shut down Buffalo's offense for the most part.
I ain't impressed with Mr. Allen either. He keep pushing this kid out. I don't think he can't get either.
Well, the thing is that, you know, they still want him to be the guy. But
Mr. America, he ain't that guy.
Well, no, I'm just, you know, just on a football standpoint, when you think of all the decent running backs that were either free agents or could have been drafted this year, I mean, let's put it this way. If they went to the Colts and said, what do y'all want for Taylor? You don't think that would make a difference with them? But see, that's the thing. They don't want to, it's more of an indictment of the league because, again, it's the devaluation of the running backs.
That's why I asked you about Taylor tomorrow. I don't think
he's going to start. I don't know who their third string quarterback is because Daniel Jones, you know, they've been very hush-hush about it. But to be honest, you know, if we're going to play the who gives you a better chance to win, from what I saw on Sunday night, Tyrod Taylor gives you the better chance to win. Good, better, and different. If you want to be
a
New York
Giants, they go.
Well, you know, put it this way. They'll only put him in there after the season is almost done. And they've only got a few more bullets left in their gun at this point in time right now. I mean, unless Jones is 100% tomorrow, I go back with Taylor, but again, it's not my call. I would love to see him play because I think he gives them a better shot. But
It's funny, you know.
Like him and Allen will get applause for running out of the pocket, but you know,
yep,
other black quarterbacks, yep, they're not given the same sort of love. But you know, it is what it is, man. Well, no, it's look. End of the day, can't win unless you've got Saquon back there. If you've got the both of them back there, you've got a shot. And we saw that last year when they were both back there that you can do some stuff. This year, it's a totally different thing because now both of them are out. So, you know, it is what it is, man.
All right, man, what you got cooking for the week?
Well, just another thing of the Field Generals. It's weird because we lose the bunch, but then we get it. You know, unfortunately, Anthony Richardson is out for the year now for the Colts, but, you know, we saw what he's been able to do.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
in the other we saw P.J. Walker help the Browns send the Niners to their first loss.
Yep.
And already C.J. Stroud has already, you know, the Texans have already won just as many games as they did last year. So I'm not saying they're a playoff team or anything like that, but it's obvious they're going to be improved. And, you know, early on.
The thing, again,
with any rookie quarterback, the thing was, are they going to play to his strengths or are they going to try to fit him in their system?
And the thing is, Chicago Bears,
D'Amico credit. He's basically taking, he's letting whoever his offensive coordinator is, he's giving the full reins of what he wants to do. So they're not fitting, you're our guy. And it's already proven out that he made the transition.
Yep.
So far, he's made the transition very, very well.
you knew the defense was going to take it up another notch. They might be maybe a year away from possibly getting maybe a wild card, or however. I mean, maybe they sneak in the back door this year, although we know the AFC is so top-heavy, it's probably going to be tough. But at the, let's put it this way. If they do, say, 8-9 or, you know, somewhere, you know, something like that, I mean, I think that would be, look, again, they're sort of like Colorado. They're playing with house money. They've already won as many games as they did last year, so now it's just a matter of seeing, okay, let's see what happens now.
All right, man. Thank you for going on board today.
Game one will have already at least had game one by now, barring any crazy weather between now and then. But we'll see how it plays out. It should be, you know, tonight. I'm definitely gonna be glued to the game tonight, though, no doubt.
All right. Well, you take care of that. Have a good week, man.
You too, man. I'll be in touch.
All right. Later. Have a the Jaguars most likely clinched the Missouri Valley Conference title. Only team that can stop them now is South Dakota Coyotes. I gotta look at the schedule and see if the Coyotes play the Jaguars this season. But they are the only two undefeated teams in the Missouri Valley. Have a good week, a good weekend. Drive safe, be safe. Get ready for the World Series next week, Friday night. Hope you enjoy that.